Attention to Scripture, Exodus chapter 17, beginning there to read at verse number 8. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 17, beginning to read with verse number 8. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out, men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amen. It's a well-read story recounted many times. And I believe it relates to our day. Amen. You'll see just how I believe that in just a few moments. Would you pray with me? I'd like to speak on this subject. What all team players should know. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bring to our remembrance the word and the examples, Lord, in Scripture. How, Lord, you used people and worked through people and how your anointing, God, was upon them. And, Lord, that your will would be accomplished, Lord, by your word being fulfilled. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in this people. I pray your hand upon us, Lord, that we would receive your word. And, Lord, do your will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. What all team players should know. Amen. The Amalekites came and attacked Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. And then he added to that, tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. You know, in the secular, it doesn't make sense. But it's what God had led him to do. Amen. It's more important that we follow God than it is that we follow the devices of men. Amen. A whole bunch of times, what is done in the kingdom of God does not match what the world would think should be done. Amen. So very often. And so Joshua, he fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur, Moses did not go by himself. Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill with him. And it's noted that as long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning in the battle. But whenever he lowered his hands, Moses got tired. I don't know if you know, in football practice way back when I was a youngster, you do these little circles. You know, it's easy for the first 20 seconds. But when you've been doing it for 5 minutes, it it gets harder and harder. Try doing it for 5 hours. Try doing it for 12 hours. Try doing it while the sun is up. Man, it can get really hard. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. He grew tired, and you know these helpers, Aaron and Hur, they took a stone. Anybody ever tried to lift a stone of any big enough to sit on? If you had a stone big enough to be a stool, that's not a small stone. It's a big stone. These guys brought that big stone over to where Moses was, because Moses was going to stand in that spot where God told him at the top of the hill, looking down. He's holding his hands up. Those guys brought that big stone. In my mind, it had to be hard. A big stone has got to weigh multiple hundreds of pounds. Many, perhaps, hundreds of pounds. Brought it there, used it for a stool, and the one guy in one hand, one guy in the other hand, they both held up his hands. You get the picture. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites and their army with the sword. The will of God prevailed when they obeyed. The principle, now we're not attacking anybody with swords, but we are to follow God's will in God's way. Amen. And when we do it God's way, God's people will prevail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doing it God's way. See, I want to talk tonight on several different things. One of the topics here is the power of teamwork. Amen. The power of working together. It's a well-known principle. It's not just in the church. You know, it's in other portions of the world. If you're in any kind of sport, almost all sports, you have to work together. You know, any team sport, there are individual sports, I suppose, as well. But in any team sport, it's not always the best player who wins the championship. It's the best team that wins the championship. Amen. Everybody wins when the people of God win. Amen. God's team is a winning team. Moses, he served as commander in chief, while Joshua, he led the army. Notice that Joshua did not ask Moses, well, why are you going up on the mountain where it's safe? How come you're so far from the battle? He didn't ask that. Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You know, that was God's plan. It's what God told Moses. Moses told Aaron, and the people were to follow the plan of God. A winning team will include the assistance. Joshua could not have done his part by himself. He had to have the men, the chosen out men that went with him to go and to fight the battle. We are not in this battle by ourselves. Amen. So it took more than one guy to go out there and fight the battle. Amen. It took a bunch of brave men to go out there and join in the will of God with Aaron as their leader and under the authority of Moses at the direction of God. Praise the Lord for people that will follow God's will. Praise the Lord for people that are willing to fight the battle. Amen. Thank God for Aaron and Hur that stood with Moses. Moses wasn't by himself either. If he had been up on the top of the hill by themselves, of the hours of the day, morning till night, how much of that time could Aaron have held his hand, or Moses, how much of that could he have held his hands up by himself? Not much. There would have been a lot of lives lost. Very well could have lost the entire battle. But because Aaron and Hur were with him to help him, to steady his hands, the will of God was able to be fulfilled. And the battle belonged to the people of God. They won the victory. Amen. A winning team is going to include, just like this example, many assistants on different fronts, on different portions of the fight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read there at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if there were, or if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Amen. You know, we are the body of Christ. This is the church that God has established. Amen. Amen. And God Himself is the head. He's the direction. He's the authority. He's the power. He is the mighty God. And this is His church. Praise the Lord. Assistants are to be, yes, steadiers, arm helpers, holder-uppers. They are tools in the hand of God. Yes. Amen. God uses people for different purposes. God does different things in different lives. And it is a help to the body, to the pastor, to the whole church. Churches will not grow properly if the pastor is dependent upon for everything. It's just not possible. If the pastor has no time for the necessary things in the kingdom of God, including preparation of the word and praying and studying and finding God's will and seeking God's face, amen. It's important that each of us do our part. Amen. Churches cannot grow properly if the pastor is continually distracted by every facet of the church. Oh, pastor, the trash can is full. Oh, okay, well, I'm thinking, empty the trash can. But, okay, I'll make sure that gets done. Praise the Lord. It just is not reasonable to think. I would be fooling myself if I thought that I could do everything. That would be foolishness. Amen. Just cannot be done. My sleeve caught my, what do you call this thing? Lectern. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law taught Moses about delegation, about letting other people help you do the will of God. There has been, or there was even then, a great move of God under the leadership of Moses. Exodus chapter 18, verse number 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. You know, that was no small thing. They had been in subjection to slavery for 400 years. Generation after generation had learned to live under the Egyptians, getting worse and worse as time went on. In fact, at the time of Moses was coming around, they were fully in subjection. But something happened. Moses' leadership was stymied by determination to handle all the work himself. He had a great big long line. And from the beginning of the day until the night time came, person, family, case after case after all the day long, people would wait in line to hear the judgment of Moses. My brother and I have a disagreement. My neighbor and I have a strife. My business partner lied, or whatever. He would hear everything. Sun up to sundown. Exodus chapter 18, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. His father-in-law Jethro pulled him aside. It gave him good advice to delegate workload. Exodus 18, verse 13 to 26. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. He said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" Man, that's a long line. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Father-in-law sounded like a wise man. He had good advice. "Hearken," verse 19, "unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said, had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Praise the Lord! I feel awesome for Moses. It just lifted the load, right? Man, it made it possible. Amen. He was in an impossible task. And yet, the will of God made it possible. You know, with every great move of God, the workload must be distributed. Amen. Do you think the apostles, you think just Peter taught all the Bible studies on the day after the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people? No. Many went from house to house. You know, it was, everybody got involved. The early church. The book of Acts records the rapid growth of the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Man, they didn't do 3,000 souls with one person. No way. No way. Not 3,000 in one day. Okay, you got 8 seconds to do this Bible study. And then the next one, and the next, no way, it's not possible, can't be done. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what? The Lord is adding to our church. Amen. And we cannot continue as we have in the past and be successful in God's plan for this church in the future. It doesn't make any sense to keep going the way we were forever. That's just not going to work. I know it. I hope you know it. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you can feel my emotion in this, but I'm on Moses' side here. Praise God. Moses, you did it, man. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Did I read verse 47? I think I did. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. I tell you, it's God's plan for people to come into the house of God, to come into the kingdom of God, to have an experience with God. It's God's will for the church to grow, to multiply, to have more churches. Amen. That's God's will. Praise the Lord. Since the church experienced such phenomenal growth, it became difficult for the apostles to minister to everyone. You know, we think, man, they're being so successful. You know what? They had more problems than they could deal with. They had more things going on than they could possibly do. And our church is not any different than that church. You know, as we grow, there's going to be more things to do, more people to deal with. Amen. There's more things to be done. In Jewish society of their day, widows were particularly needy and they were dependent. A natural division already existed within the church because on the day of Pentecost, thousands of Jews were born in Israel, came to the church along with the Grecian Jews, those that were born outside of Palestine, as wonderful as the new birth experience was, as great as we see the book of Acts record the actions of the apostles and the book of Acts and the great phenomenal growth in the church and thousands coming to God, there were murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected of daily ministration. They're talking about they weren't getting food. They had problems in the church. They needed a Jethro solution to a Moses-sized problem. What are you going to do with thousands of people that are brand new babes in Christ? I mean, they just experienced God. Now what? Acts chapter 6, verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We got to put things in perspective. If the pastor is not careful, Bible study, preparation, teaching, it could be interrupted or give way to other tasks that need to be done in the church. Necessary tasks. Necessary tasks, it is possible for them to become such a distraction that it could potentially inhibit the church's spiritual growth. Everyday things. The apostles did not regard waiting on tables as beneath them. They were certainly able to wait tables. They were certainly able to bring food to the widows. They were certainly able to do those things that needed to be done. But if they spent all their time doing those things, then where were they seeking the face of God? And the study of the word and the preparation for the preaching and the plan for the church. You see, they had a primary call in their life that they needed to fulfill. In one of the Sunday school books, in the winter version, 2008, in page 44, a writer named Johnson wrote this: when you do your job, when I do your job, I'm not doing my job. And we both are denied a blessing. Yeah, the pastor can do a lot of stuff, but it's impossible that the pastor do everything and still be successful in God's plan for him. Amen. Amen. The apostles delegated daily physical needs of the church to other people. That was the answer in the New Testament church. And that still is the answer today. The workload of the body of Christ, which rightfully so, as the body gets bigger, it has more needs. It has more functions. It needs more helpers. The church needs more helpers as it grows. Just a few weeks ago, my pastor, Brother McDonald, was here, and he was happy to see that there were 85 people in church that day, and he was so, he was just happy that, this church was growing in a successful rate. And I told him, Pastor, we don't have 85 people every Sunday. But we did that Sunday. But you know what? It's God's will that we hit 100 and go on. That we grow past that.
It is.
It's God's will. In fact, I've got a promise from God that I will not ever forget.
Amen.
That there's going to be 140 people in this church. I tell you, I can see it in my mind just as sure, just as clear. That's God's will.
Amen.
I know it. I'm not guessing. I tell you, I got this from God.
Yeah.
Amen. It's going to happen. But we can't see that vision fulfilled and act like we got 16 people in the storefront. It's just, they're not equal. We got to do things differently. Amen. I have to do things differently. Amen. You see, there is power in servitude. Amen. Serving the Lord. Matthew chapter 20. Read there at beginning at verse 25. But Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus truly was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the Most High, God incarnate in flesh on earth. And yet, he washed the disciples' feet. He served the people. Amen. The way to greatness is ministering and doing what you can to help others. It's important that we get involved and help in the work of God. Serving is doing what needs to be done at the time that it needs to be done, do what's needed when it's needed, no matter what else needs to be done. Sometimes, in fact, very often, the child of God is doing stuff for the kingdom of God. And perhaps for a time, his own things get put on the side. Sometimes you might ride by my house in the summertime, my grass is a little long. I just didn't get around to mowing it this week. We'll get to it next week. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because I just couldn't get to it then. I'll get to it. I have good intentions to cut my grass just as soon as I can. But you know what? I'm not going to stay home on a Sunday morning and cut my grass when I'm supposed to be preaching. Right? Or when I need to be doing other things. Matthew 25, verse 21. Excuse me. I got to back up just a moment here. Serving is doing what's needed when it's needed, no matter what else is needed. If you will deepen your service, God will broaden your ministry.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Amen. Whatever you do for the Lord, that service is important. I remember very fondly being the groundskeeper at a church in Virginia, mowing the grass and doing the hedges and making it look just right. The ditch out in back of the church, man, I'd make that thing nice and smooth and rounded. And man, oh. You know what? Nobody even went in the back of the church. But it looked just as good in the back side as it did in the front side. Because I did it. Almost. No, maybe the pastor knew because the pastor could look out his window and see the back side of the church. But very few. You know, and I never told anybody in that church, man, did you go around the back side and look at the ditch? That'd be stupid. But I knew it was right. And I took that as my job. And that was important to me. It was. Changing light bulbs in a different church in Bristol. That was important to me. Amen. I took it personally. We got to, whatever we find to do, we got to do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, the key of all servanthood is doing whatever you do is unto the Lord. And it really doesn't even matter what it is. Do whatever you do for the kingdom of God as your service to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Serve Him with all you got. Serve Him within your capacity. There's things you can do and things you can't do. Amen. You didn't want me playing the piano. That would be a really bad idea. But there are people that can play the piano. Praise the Lord. And they're good at it. Man, I could run that lawnmower. Man, I knew how to do that hedge trimmer, you know. Praise the Lord. Do what you can do. Where am I at? You were born an original. Do not live and die as a copy. Don't try to do everything somebody else did. You are special in the kingdom of God. And this church is unique in the kingdom of God. There is no other church just like this church. Amen. This church is unique in the kingdom of God. And you know what? In my other church, we used to. Well, just because they did it some way in some other church doesn't mean that that's necessarily the way. You know, I'll listen to what you have to say, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do it that way in this church. You are an original. Do not become a clone of somebody else. Understand who you are. And you are called to serve the Lord in your capacity. But not all people are called to a pulpit ministry. Some are, but not everybody. Are you called perhaps to a teaching ministry? You know, this church is going to need, in fact, we need more teachers right now. I'll get to that in a little while. Teaching ministry is very important. And I'll even say this. Some people have been ruined by getting a minister's license. If God didn't call you to preach, well then don't kick the door in. God will open it for you. Don't force it. You know, let God lead you in what you're able to do. Second place doesn't mean second rate. Amen. Pharaoh was number one, the highest authority in Egypt. But consider, if you will, for a moment, the value that Joseph brought to the greatness of Egypt. That nation would have starved to death. They would have been financially ruined. They would have been catastrophically depleted without God and the godly wisdom of Joseph. Here we go. This is an important factor. Keep your ego in check. So simple. Keep your ego in check. I know one of the times that it hurt me. I mean, hurt me to the core, but I had to have God to heal me. I was in bus ministry in another church. Young, 20-something kid, zealous, working for God. And bus ministry was taking off. Man, we were bringing all kinds of people. You think it's great when the bus is full. Oh, we bought another. We got two buses. Praise the Lord. Set them up both routes. We were filling up the church. Well, we were bringing so many people, it was flooding the Sunday school classes with more people than they could handle. And, you know, we were taking kids out of the projects. And we were, you know, a lot of those were problem children, if you get what I mean. And, man, it was causing chaos. I thought, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then I was told, we're going to close down the bus ministry. You can tell the kids that this week is the last bus ride. You're not coming next week. I can't run my station wagon and pick up 70 kids. I fit 12 in there one time. Ooh, they were packed up to the ceiling. Wait, all the way to the back. Faces in the window all the way. But man, talk about, don't let your ego get in the way. And I'm talking from, you know, I could have backslid over that. What do you mean? We have to keep the bus ministry going. That was my thought. But my place was to follow the plan of my pastor. I had to take a step back, sit down, pray. I had to seek God's face and not backslide. I got to keep serving God. You know, that church went right on, little bump, little dip, and went right off and multiplied. It was the plan of God. Many of those people that rode that bus have their kids and grandkids in that church today. But I had to not backslide over something I didn't agree with. My clothes are getting baggy. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. There's no way. Well, maybe I'll get done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's what I had to do. I had to submit myself to my pastor. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. When we give in to pride, we create a barrier between God and us. While humble, while we are in humility, now humility in itself cannot purchase the blessings of God, but it opens the way to receive His blessings. Had I been bitter over learning the bus route was closing this week, no more bus route next Sunday, I tell you, that was catastrophic news to me. It would have changed everything. I might be out there lost in the world today. I wouldn't be here had I not just obeyed my pastor. Kept in check my own emotions. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, familiar portion. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God places a high premium on humility. A Roman centurion understood this concept and humbly approached Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You know, the centurion understood authority. And the centurion's prayer was answered. Amen. Matthew 8, verse 13, just moving down a little bit. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first essential step towards a person's leadership development is to be willing to submit to the authority of another. Everything is not going to be done your way. Amen. Everything was not done my way. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad I had a pastor that had insight into the plan and will of God. Amen. The specifics of how God develops individuals varies. But in every case, the common thread of submission, learning, and testing are always present. Amen. Moses molded Joshua. Saul helped to develop David. Eli trained Samuel. Elijah developed Elisha. Paul fathered Timothy. Jesus taught the apostles. Even in the life of Jesus, we see the principle of submission to appropriate authority. Luke chapter 2, verse 48. Read at verse 48, Luke chapter 2. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? He'd been gone days. Parents were looking for him. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus himself subjected himself to the authority that was over him, his parents. Matthew 3, beginning to read at verse 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest unto me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. John understood who Jesus was. But Lord, at your word, I'll do it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God uses this plan of submitting to authority in our lives to unfold his purpose within us. Many people desire the will of God for their lives, but they fail to follow God's plan for finding it. In this church, you know, I've had people tell me that they're going to have a preaching ministry. Go out and, well, God didn't tell me that. Right. If God didn't tell me that, then guess what? You ain't preaching from this pulpit. Right. They're backslidden, not living for God today. Unfortunately. You know, and I tried to counsel them. Well, then, here's the study material. You need to read these books. You need to go through these courses. You need to be faithful to church. You need to be faithful first in the pew. Yeah. And then God will move you into a ministry. Amen. Sometimes they just jump right out of the frying pan and into the fire. I've heard that before. Amen. You know, submitting to God begins in your home. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5, 22. 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Submission is all through our lives, or should be. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Now, that concludes the text part of my message. I have 4 minutes left. Let me give you something to consider right here. Consider in this church where God has... Now, there's been people with us since the storefront. Been to the hotel. Been, you know, you've seen us, the wonderful works of God in our midst. God is doing great things here. Amen. It's a miracle what God has already done. Amen. And it's not over yet. It's going to get better.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Consider this for a moment. Small groups. I went to a conference a year ago. And that preface of that whole motion conference thing that I went to was getting people involved in the kingdom of God. One of the ways they did it was in small groups. Their objective is to have one small group for every 8 people in church. So if when Brother McDonald was here, we had 85 people, well, then we should have 8 active groups. 10. We should have 10. Yeah, excuse me. Going on 11. We should have one in the getting started. We need spiritual group leaders in this church. Sunday school classes. We have a toddler class. And we have children's church. We should have multiple teachers in every class. There's been a few times my wife and I needed to go away for needful things, you know, emergencies, sometimes a conference. But there's been times we've had to have the kids not have Sunday school because one teacher is unavailable. Amen. We need Sunday school teachers in our current classes. But you know what? Our current classes are not as they're recommended to be. There should be a nursery class. There should be a young children's, let's say nursery 0 to 4. Three, four. How far does nursery go? What if we had a nursery class, and then we had a toddler class, then we had a young children's primary class, and then we had an older children's junior class, then we had an older kids' youth class? Who knows? Maybe we'd have a young adults class. You know, as this church grows, this church has to grow with it. For this church to continue to grow and have 2 classes, you can't sustain the growth with our current method. This church needs teachers. We do. And I pray about being a teacher. Because God wants to use us in the kingdom of God. Amen. Home Bible study teachers, elements class teachers. Elements is not a one-time thing. There's a whole other group of people that need to get into Elements that haven't started yet.
Right.
And behind them, people that hadn't even come here yet need to go through Elements. Amen. And the people who are coming out of one Elements class need to be faithful and go to the next one. How about church maintenance projects? There's all we live in. This church is 100 years old almost, pert near. 1929, I think, is on the cornerstone. So, 95 years old. Man, there's 1,000 things that could be done around this church. but there needs to be people to do them. Church maintenance projects, church outreach projects, youth ministry, men's ministry, ladies' ministry. I think the church needs a choir. Church needs music ministry. Amen. Church needs, the list goes on and on and on and on. As we get bigger, the list gets bigger. Amen. There's more stuff to do. So if we have 60 to 80 people now, what's it going to be when we have 140? And we're going to need many times more people working in the kingdom of God, serving the household of God. Amen. To be successful, we cannot expect to continue to go the way we have been in the future and be successful. Amen. Stand with me. I didn't mean to beat you down. Amen. I'm trying to share my heart, though. I'm trying to share the burden of the work of the Lord. Amen. God did it for Moses. He can do it here too. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you.